Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
First week of Advent, we are preparing our hearts to celebrate Christmas together. Celebrate that Jesus came, Jesus born among us. He lived, he died, and he is now in his throne. Think about that. I found a part of the scripture this week in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. This says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Everything is about Jesus Christ. Everything, our salvation, our life, our security, everything is about Jesus. And here, when I was reading this week, it said, no matter how many promises God has made, there are yes in Jesus. And if you are in Jesus, it's yes for you, it's yes for me. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. And so through him, Jesus, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Because everything is to glory of God. Now, it's God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. To know we stand firm in Christ is not because you have the ability to do this. It's because of God. He anointed us, his seal of ownership, set his seal, the Holy Spirit. Do you know when you send a mail, and you go to the post office, and you put your mail there, and the guy seal, and what he say, it's okay, at least say, "I guarantee that this mail will arrive in the destination." This is the ideal here. Praise the Lord. With God, it's not about that. God put the seal of the Holy Spirit and say, you will arrive there in the heaven. Not because of you, not because of me. But because God, the Holy Spirit, he's put in your heart, is the mark of God. So it said, set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. All this is possible because Jesus is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. All things. And you know, from the beginning, God put so many clues in the Old Testament to help us to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. Do you know how many prophecies we have in the Old Testament about the Messiah? Did you read? How many? And Jesus fulfilled everything. Do you know how many? How you say? Give a number. 50? More? 70?
70 or 400. Those are common numbers.
I found, Dr. Google. And I got a list of
365 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ, about the Messiah, and was fulfilled. Of course, there are many that indirect prophecies, but I believe at least, when I look, at least 60 minimal was straight, direct, and said, oh, this is, it's Jesus. And we will go through now for the whole 365. No, it's, I'm joking. It's not about that. But do you remember how what was the first one? Prophecy about the Messiah. Can you remember? I have a very good student here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I'll read for you. Genesis chapter 3. If I can read in this small letter here, but okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Later, just because it came in my mind now, I remember Moses. Remember when the people of Israel, just another example, the people of Israel sinned against God, and God sent a plague of many snakes. And what's happened, the people start to die, and they run to Moses, ask, help us, help us. And Moses pray, talk to God, and what God said to him, okay, get some bronze and make a snake and put in the up of the hill. And everybody who was bit by the snake, if they believe and look for the snake up the hill, they will be healed. In New Testament, the New Testament, we find the author said, the same way that Jesus, the same way that Moses lift up the serpent on the hill, and people when look to him or look to the snake, they were healed. The same thing Jesus was. For everybody who looked to him will be healed from their sins. Today, I'm not taking a look for 365 prophecies, but I found 8 prophecies about the birth, life, and work of the Messiah that was fulfilled in Jesus. Most of them I choose about his birth. The first one was the Messiah would be from the tribe of Judah. This happens 2,000 years before Jesus. Jacob was with Joseph and his brothers in Egypt. Knowing that his dad was near, he reunited the brothers. And they start to pray. He start to pray. He start to bless his children. And he began to prophesy about each head of the family. And this was what Jacob said about Judah. Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until it comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. When you look at Jesus, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 14 says, for it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to the tribe of Moses said nothing about priests. Revelation chapter 5 verse 4 and 5 says, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worth to open the scroll or look inside. Remember the John's vision. He was in heaven, and when he looked around, he didn't see nobody was worth to open the scrolls. But the elders came to him and said, don't cry, do not weep. See, the Lion of tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scrolls and he reveals its seven seals. The second prophecy here relates to the tribe of Judah is that Messiah will be a descendant of David. Now another prophet, Nathan, the same one who called David and say, you need to ask forgiveness because you sin against God. The same one talked to him and said, when your days are over, like your ancestors, I will raise up your offsprings to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This was fulfilled first with Solomon, of course. But there is a promise here for a kingdom forever related to the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, I know this is a repetition for many of you, but for others, maybe it's the first time you hear about Jesus. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Jesus was a descendant of David. Third, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Seven 700 years before Christ, Micah prophesies about the Messiah. Micah is part of what you call minor prophet. But minor prophet is not because the message was minor, but because the book was short, was small. So Micah, like most of the minor prophets, had a message of judgment, a message of destruction against Israel. And in the midst of this terrible situation of corrupt leadership, Micah says that will come a leader who will lead for God, a leader who is just, a leader who is from eternity. The first time this week, when I read, when you read a verse, you focus so much on one part, then you forget the another part. Yeah, we always focus the idea that Jesus was born in Bethlehem here. We see the Messiah. And I never looked for the last part. Look, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Look here, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. I never read this. I said, no, I think my Bible don't have this. And I tried to find in Portuguese. I said, no, I never take a look at it because I always look the first part. This is great. This showed the eternity of the Messiah. He's come, his origin is back there. So, I just want to say that the whole history is controlled by God. And all the time, God intervened in the history to make sure that his will be fulfilled in everything. So at the time of Jesus, the Roman governor had commanded all his subjects go to their ancestral hometown for a census. And because of that, Joseph that was from Bethlehem, he and Mary went there. So what's happened? Jesus born in Bethlehem. And I started to think, why the governor did that? Because God has control in everything, and He, God, was make sure that every prophecy about the Messiah would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and I have come to worship him. So, the Messiah is come from the tribe of Judah. The Messiah would come from the as a descendant of David. The Messiah would born in Jerusalem. Everyone, everything fulfilled in Jesus. In fourth place here, the Messiah will born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Here we can see the divinity of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35 says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The fifth prophecy we see here is the youth kill children try to kill the Messiah. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 15 says, this is what the Lord says, a voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refuse to be comforted because they are no more. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave order to kill all the boys in the Bethlehem, in its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. What was said to the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Hamar, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted because they are no more. All prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. The 60. It was God's will that the Messiah should die. Sometimes I have a conversation with people on the street or friends. And one thing that I heard here, not only here, even in Brazil, is the idea that why God let Jesus die? And here I heard the idea that die was not a victory, but a defeat. How this can happen? So, when I read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, said, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord make his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and they will, in the will of the Lord, will prosper in his hand. God planning everything. Jesus knew that. In John chapter 18, 11, Jesus, do you remember when Jesus, when Peter tried to defend Jesus? He got a sword and tried to fight. And Jesus looked for him and said, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Jesus knew that. Was God's will that Messiah should die fulfilled too in Jesus? And seventh, the Messiah will receive upon himself the punishment that we should receive. There is another point here. Some still don't understand and say, why somebody should die for me? I am responsible for myself. Why Jesus can represent us? Why Jesus needed to die for me? I can make the same question. But this is God's will. Who am I? Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." It's there. And I know that Jewish people, Israel, they do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But Isaiah is talking about the Messiah here. And they still waiting for. Not for a spiritual leader, but for a king or political. I don't know. But it's here. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Everything fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Everything. And the last one, the Messiah would die, but would not remain dead. Psalm 16, verse 9 to 10 says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." And you see here in Matthew chapter 28 verse 6, he said, "He is not here, he has risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." The another question that I have here, he says, how can you believe in resurrection? I have a question. I start to think about this, because the gospel is the most, the way how the gospel was written, specifically about the resurrection, is it's a very bad marketing. Very bad marketing. You know, did you have experience to buy something on internet? You saw the picture or TV, and you buy Amazon, something like that. And when you receive, they think it's not really what you saw on TV. And you are so disappointed. We cannot give up back anymore. This happened if you live here, so it's hard. But because what? Because advertising. Usually we see only the good things. They hide the details. They want to sell. Okay? But the gospel about how Jesus resurrected, The market is very bad. Do you know why I'm saying that? Who was the first one who saw Jesus? What? A woman. Whoa. A woman back there was nothing. Who can believe? Was a woman. I think that's why Peter ran away to make sure that, because he didn't believe. It's like a small kid, maybe today we can compare, maybe. A small kid, maybe one of your kids, say, do you know? Hey, the apostles, mister, I want to say that I saw Jesus. Nobody will believe. So, this is a very bad market, a woman. Second thing that I start to think about this is, how far do you stand up for a liar, for a lie? How far you go for a lie? Okay? How far you go? Do you die for one lie? How far you go? To keep a lie alive. How much you go? When you look back for the... Oh, I'm here. So, if more we there, no. If you look for the apostles, what was the destination for them? Beside John, who died in old age, everybody was killed. Peter, no, crucified in the upside down. People was, how we call hang. Do you think they stay until die for a lie? No. Jesus raised again. The another thing, this is something that I talk with people when they start to question this, is a Jewish guy, a historian called Flavius Josephus, that he lives in the time, he wrote a book. In his book, in book 18, chapter 3, he wrote that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified and resurrected. This guy was not a Christian. He was a Jewish historian, lived at the time. But we have so many more prophecies that you can fulfill here. The Messiah would enter in Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9, and Jesus did that on Palm Sunday, Matthew 21, and verse 1 to 5. The Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11, 12 and 13. Judas received 30 pieces of silver from the chief priest to betray Jesus, Matthew 26, 15. We have so many prophecies. All this was clue that Jesus, the God, gave to us. So you and me, we can make sure that we believe that Jesus was what he said he was. And Jesus today, he is alive on his throne. He is, as the Bible said, he is interceding for us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He came as a lamb and he will come as a lion king. It's true. And because of that, we can keep warm our heart in faith. That although around us is still so many troubles, so many difficulties, to keep our faith. But we can stay firm because of God's promise. And I finish reading Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. When it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you are discouraged. I don't know. Maybe you are under so much pressure. I want to say that God is faithful. And you are not alone. And God is with you. God is with me. And He is side by side with you. And you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. And God will help you to cross the line when you be with Him in heaven. And this is always possible. Always possible. Because Jesus is the Messiah. There is no doubt about that. And the one who promised, He will fulfill in your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your grace. Thank you because you are the God sovereign. Our lives is in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.